We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the message this morning is just titled, One Body. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're working our way through that. And it's starting in verse 12, and it'll just go on through verse 27. And you can look on the back of your bulletin. There's a simple outline. I encourage you to take notes. If you have your phone, go to YouVersion and take notes there and shoot your response back to me. There's some questions in there for you to answer, something for you to do if you get bored. I hope not. Imagine a boat full of people working together, rowing. There's a guy in the stern facing the bow. He is the only one who sees where they are headed. He is yelling out in cadence and encouragement. He is steering the boat as it glides on the water on a straight line, perfectly. Everyone in the boat is fixed on him in the stern with their backs to the bow. And they work together, focused on the leader. It's a beautiful sight to see if you've ever seen rowing. It's poetry in motion as the team works together. It's a sight of beauty for us to see. And then someone starts looking around at the scenery and slows down rowing. Not paying attention to rowing, the other members have to row harder to make up for the guy who's doing his own thing. Soon members start to get tired and they start rowing out of cadence. The boat slows down and starts to drift off course, and it gets harder to stay in a straight line. The leader now stops yelling out the cadence and he tries focusing on navigating the boat, trying to stay on course. Others in the boat start getting frustrated and start making comments to one another. Fighting starts and then apathy and the thought, what's the point? And the boat slows and comes to a stop. I use this illustration to present a picture of a church that is focused on Christ, working together, and one that stops working together and loses its focus. The church is much more than a team of people in a boat, but it gives us a simple picture of what it looks like when a group of people work together and what it looks like when they don't. The Corinthian church was not working together. They were divided and going in circles, and they were disgracing the name of Christ with what they were doing in their communities. The body of Christ is much more than just a group. It's how Christ reveals himself to the world, and we have to keep that in our minds at all times. Each and every one of us who has put their faith in Christ is a part of the body of Christ. Each member is filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in Ephesians 1:13. We are given gifts by the Spirit. We have studied that to grow the body and to share the gospel with the world. Up to this point, first in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's been trying to get the Corinthians to be informed about who they are and how they're equipped with the Holy Spirit to declare that Jesus is Lord to the world around them. Each member is given gifts to carry out different ministries, and the gifts were to benefit everyone. Each member works bettering themselves, focusing on Christ, growing closer to Christ, for reaching the world for Christ. That's the picture that Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to see. The Spirit works through the church, through each member, as they go out into the world. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he points them to Christ through the church. Christ is the only one who can truly save them. He does this through the church. As we gather together and we go out into our communities and we live with those around us. As we look at this passage this morning, there are several questions we want to try to answer. The main one is, why is it important to be part of the body? And what role do you play? Which brings us to the scripture that we have this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 through 31. We'll look at this section. We're going to try to answer these questions. And we'll start in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. The body is made up of different parts. We are parts of a church, but we're all different. Just look around you and see how different we all are. We come from different parts of the country, don't we? Some of us come in different sizes and shapes. Some are more shapely than others. We have different personalities, don't we? Different ages. Some can play the mandolin, and some just think about playing the mandolin. Some are good looking, and some are not so good looking. But all are gathered this morning. All of us are gathered in this church with one common purpose, and that is to worship Jesus Christ. This morning we have gathered to worship our Lord and Savior, and to encourage one another. One of the things that we miss about church is that church is just not come to learn something, but it's to encourage one another. As we sit together, we encourage one another. We don't have to say words just by being there. So many of us think that church is just for us, but Scripture tells us a different story in Hebrews. It says it's for the person next to you. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the person sitting right next to you. And we do this so that we can glorify Christ in our lives. This church is one of many churches in the local area right now that is gathering and holding worship service. This is all happening across the state. And in a greater sense, the United States and the world. Think about it. Every weekend, millions and millions and millions of believers gather together and they worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This gathering takes place, and then the body goes back out where it came from. It goes back out like a tide going out. And it goes back out sharing Christ with those who don't know Christ, interceding on behalf of those who have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all, and for building up the body. It's an incredible picture when you think about it. And that is what we're a part of. Christ being shared in the world through the church. And what holds us all together? This body. And what keeps us on course? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says this, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. The word here for baptized is to be totally immersed. Think about a ship that is sinking. Picture the water pouring in from all places, filling in every space that's available on the ship. It pushes out all the air. Anything and everything is surrounded and filled with water. In the same way, just like baptism, we are surrounded by the water. not only are we surrounded, but Paul says right here that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the picture that we take from the statement, drink of the Spirit. In the Spirit, we become one body with one purpose and one direction. Doesn't matter who you are or what position you have in society, your education level, or how much money you make or how much money you don't make. It doesn't matter what race you are and where you come from, whether you're male or female. For those who have put their faith in Christ, you are one in the body of Christ, immersed. Which brings us to the largest part of this passage this morning. And it starts in verse 14. So the body is not one part, but many. The body is not one part, but many, many different parts. In this section of Scripture, it runs to verse 27. There are two primary thoughts that I want you to take from this. If you read through it, I'm not going to read it all, but you can look through it and I'll pull out some verses. Here's the two primary thoughts, though, when we read these verses. There are many members, and each member is important. And each member has a place that is equally important. You may have noticed up to this point that Paul's been using the word spirit in chapter 12. But now he shifts to the word body. In fact, he does it some 18 times in these little verses. So you can see that he's trying to make a point that we are one body. And he says it over and over again. Paul's emphasizing that we are part of one body and that everybody has a place. No one placed in the body can or should say, I don't belong. How many of you have been part of church and never felt like, I just don't belong? You may feel that way sometimes. Priscilla, she raised her hand, who just turned 90. Bless her heart. That's right. But I assure you, you belong. Every person is valuable and every person has a place. How do I know that? How can I be so sure of that? Because the Word of God tells me. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now God has placed each person, each one of the parts, in one body just as He wanted. You are valuable because God placed you in the body exactly where He wanted you. God has chosen you and God has placed you where you can grow and contribute to the body. You are not here by accident, but by design, according to God's wills, according to God's plan, and God's purpose. Secondly, everyone belongs. The church cannot say to anybody, I don't need you. And we have to be very careful because it's easy for a church, just by its actions, to say, I don't need you anymore. But we need everyone. One part is not above another part. Each member has a function that is equally important as another member. Our job as a church is to make sure that everybody has a place that can serve and start using their gifts and talents that God has given them. On the other side of this is when we stop playing our part, we hurt the whole body of Christ. When one member suffers, the whole body suffers. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. Something that we lose sight of as in the body of Christ is that we're all linked together in this community of believers. The actions of one person impacts everyone. We like to think that, what we do in this life doesn't affect the person next to me. But in reality, it does. Our action or lack of action impacts the church and its ability to carry out what God has us to do. I've had a lot of conversations lately with people who say it's really none of my business to ask them certain questions. And I really don't want to know the details of their lives when I ask these questions. But as a pastor, as a church member, as a brother in Christ, I'm concerned about your well-being. Hey, it's more important for me to think about your eternal destination than it is your discomfort in a question. If I truly love you, why would I allow you to continue in sin and not ask you why? Now, don't get me wrong. I can't come up to you in a self-righteous way and ask you the tough question. The scriptures are very clear that I'm supposed to restore a brother with gentleness and respect, and that we are to be careful ourselves in the way that we ask the questions, because we don't want to be tempted ourselves. But nowhere does it say that I can't ask. And they say, well, you're judging me. How many of you have heard that? That's like the favorite phrase now. And I've used this illustration, and I'll use it again. I was a policeman for a long time. And I used to write tickets. And when I would see you driving down the road, whoever you are, and it's a 35-mile-an-hour zone, and you're doing 50, and I look at your speed, and I've been watching cars for a long time, I know you're speeding, I look at the radar, and it verifies and tells me, yep, you're going 50 miles an hour. So I pull you over, and I walk up, and hopefully I don't have to knock on your window. Hopefully you have it down. And I ask you for your license, your registration, your proof of insurance. And then I give you a ticket for speeding. Now, on that ticket, if you've ever gotten one, you know what's at the bottom. Me as a police officer, all I did was observe what you're doing. And I write it out in a ticket. I am not your judge. I am only the one who saw and observed and I'm pointed to write those things down. What's at the bottom of the ticket? Your court date. That's your appointment to see your judge. He is the one who will determine if you're guilty or not guilty. Do you see where I'm going with this? At brothers and sisters in Christ, by me simply pointing out that something that you might be doing wrong or not wrong, that's not judgment, that's love. Because one day you will face a judge, the eternal judge. And then what will I say on that day when you turn to me and say, why didn't you tell me? I don't want that to ever happen. No, I lost my place. We like to think that what we do in this life doesn't affect us, but in reality it does. Not only are we a part of the local believers, but we are also part of the church universal. Many years ago, while I was part of a church up in Yuba City, I was part of a church strategy team. I spent the day trying to come up with vision statements. We had gathered the whole church and we were coming up with all these different strategies, and we broke out into groups and we had brainstorming sessions. And by the end of the day, you can picture we had charts and things all over the walls everywhere with different statements that different teams have come up with. And right about then, Fred Nichols stood up. And if you don't know Fred Nichols, he's up in Marysville. He's an old pastor. He stood up and he said, this is all very impressive. And then he said this, but we should be more focused on kingdom building than we are on church building. He shot my whole day down. We reach people for the kingdom and working as the body of Christ. God will take care of your church. In one swoop, Fred taught me a powerful lesson, and it's one that I've never forgotten. We, the body, we have to be focused on kingdom building for God. And by doing so, God will take care of the church. And so how we live our lives and how we work together as a church and as a body has an impact on the kingdom of God. And so all that we do matters. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. You are part of God's plan. You are personally placed in the body of Christ. You are exactly where you belong, and you are important and greatly needed. We need each other. No one is above another, and no one is better than someone else. As the body of Christ, we have a great task before us. We are charged with reaching the world. We are charged with reaching the nations and our community. This is an impossible task for one person, but through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is possible. We serve a great and mighty God. He created all things, and all things are placed in Him. And we are His representatives, the living body of Christ. God revealed Himself to the world. He reveals Himself to the world through us, through the church. And that's why it's important for us to keep focus, to keep our focus on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. The writers of Hebrews says this, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that laid before Him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart in struggling against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. It is not easy to live the Christian life. There are so many forces that are at work trying to divide us. We battle the world around us, firstly, who is becoming increasingly hostile towards the Christian faith. I live in a time I never thought I would see in the United States where people are openly hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. At one time I was growing up, it was cool to be a part of a church, and now it's not so cool. You will find resistance out there. If you want to see something that will shock you, go to some of the atheist sites and just look at some of the posts that people post on about Christianity. It is shocking what they say. And it's coming. We battle our own flesh and with sin. And to top it all off, we have an enemy who's helping control it all, who wants to destroy us. We cannot do this by ourselves. It is impossible. We need each other for encouragement and strength. It takes effort to be part of the body of Christ. There is suffering, and you might even get bitten by one of our own. You will experience disappointment and maybe even doubt, but you cannot give up, for there is too much at stake. Hearing Pastor Neely say amen just reminded me of my ordination. You know, they have you sit up front, and everybody comes up and whispers something in your ear. And I can tell you right now, I don't remember one word that anybody said to me, except this. Pastor Neely, in my ear, said this. never, 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 never. He just kept going on and on. Give up. And you know how many times I have repeated that to myself? You know, when I went to an ordination to someone else, you know what I did? Never, never, never give up. We are the body of Christ. There is too much at stake. And what we do as the body impacts eternity. Because as much as I know, this is the other side of it, as much as I know of what I just mentioned, there are far greater joys in being a part of the body. The joy of knowing that I'm part of something that is far greater than myself. The joy of knowing that God is Lord and there is nothing that is impossible for Him. I've experienced time and time again His amazing grace that strengthens my life and has proven to me over and over again that He is faithful and I can trust in His faithfulness. He will never leave you or forsake you. And nothing, the Scriptures tell us, can separate us from the love of Christ. No, not in these things. We are more victorious through Him who loves us. For I am persuaded that not even life or death, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or anything that is created will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are here temporarily. A mist in time, the Scripture says. A summer breeze that passes by and is here no more and is gone. This is not the end. It is only the beginning of things to come. We are the body of Christ, the church, established by the will of the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. You are chosen and established before the foundations of the world. You have a place and a purpose and are greatly needed. I want to encourage you this morning, for the sake of the body of Christ, to draw near to Christ. If you're a Christian, to make Him the focus of your life. Learn to listen to the cadence of His voice as He leads us. To seek Him out in the Scriptures daily. To talk with Him in prayer. And to grow with Him in fellowship with the rest of the body. If you're unsure this morning if you know Christ or if you don't know Him, I want to help you. I want to help you know Christ by sharing Christ with you. I pray now that God would stir your heart, that He would open it up and that you would see Christ in all His glory. I pray for the Holy Spirit right now to convict you of sin and of judgment and point you to Christ, the one who died for you and shed His blood for you so you would have forgiveness of sin and that you can stand in the presence of God Almighty, justified by the blood of Christ. I pray for the Holy Spirit now to enable you, if you don't know Christ this morning, to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ, who is the only one who can save you. That's what repentance is. It's looking at your sin and confessing it and turning your back to it and turning to Christ, who is the only one who can forgive you. And that's what I ask for. We are the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you to lift one another up in prayer, to strengthen one another, to walk alongside one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, to show grace and love and mercy to one another, to live for one another, for the glory of Christ. Because look around you. It's not getting any easier. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You for the body of Christ, for the believers that you bring in to the body, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us by your Spirit. I pray now, Lord, that if there's anybody here that doesn't know who you are, that they would turn from their sin and they would turn to Christ. Lord, I pray for this to happen. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.